day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for tuning in tonight. If this is your first time tuning in to Radio Redemption and Power, we are currently doing a study in the book of 1 John. And we invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can be able to listen to all of our past podcasts so you can be up to date on this continuous study until we finish the book. We also have another study that we did on 1 Timothy. So we invite you to visit the webpage, either find us on Facebook or iTunes as well, where you can subscribe to our weekly podcast and get it directly to your phone. You can also download our app, which is available both for Android and iPhone, to be able to hear at your convenience. And we also have a live stream that is available through TuneIn Radio, where you can listen to the current content that we have on there. You can listen to Christian music, listen to it while you're going to work. And it's a wonderful alternative to listening to radio stations that sometimes have very little things that can edify you. You can also contact us via our Facebook page. Send us your prayer requests, questions, or concerns. We're always happy to hear from our listeners. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower.com, or you can even contact us at 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight, we come before you, Father, in prayer. And Father, we ask you tonight that you will minister to us, Father. Give us the ability to preach your gospel, Father. And Father, we pray for those people that are hearing this message that you, Father, can reveal yourself to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing joyful be. Through all eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. Through all eternity, I'll sing on. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. And as we have been seeing continually for quite a few consecutive weeks now, the book of 1 John is a very pertinent, relevant book to the times that we're living in. And all the Bible is relevant. But there's something so special about this book in the way that it speaks to the believer, not only from the person who's writing it, who we've seen in each and every week, that this was an apostle that was able to witness wonderful things that no other apostle was able to see. He was able to walk with Jesus. He was there at his resurrection. He was there during his ministry and then afterwards when he was crucified, and he was there at the resurrection. He was a witness to the formation and the church. And he also received the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the book of Revelation. He was able to see the future. He was able to see the events that were going to come upon the earth. He was able to see Christ as the victor, as king, coming to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. He was able to see that great city, the New Jerusalem, coming down on the earth. And that's why when we look at this letter, it's a letter of encouragement. It's a letter that speaks to the saints, that encourages the saints to continue to move forward, to continue to keep their eyes upon God, because time is short. Time is short. He suffered through the persecution of the church. He was a prisoner in the island of Patmos, where it was that he had received the book of Revelation. And he gives us such wonderful insight unto Jesus, into what it is to be a saint. And last week we looked at verse 12, 13, and 14, and we saw the many different ways how that can be applied to a believer, how he speaks to the church as a family, how he speaks to every individual in the church, from the young to the old to the children, and how that also applies to the different stages that we have in our Christian walk with Jesus. And he expresses it in such a way that is endearing towards a family of God. This is a letter to a family. This is not a general, this is a letter that was written to the church. It was specifically to the people of God. And with the dark times that we're facing today, where Christians are being persecuted all over the world, where we're seeing Christian values departed here in the United States and being condemned, and we're seeing the beginnings of persecution towards Christians, of people that would stand on God's principles, that would stand on the Word of God. And this is a wonderful book where we can find encouragement in these last days.
Amen. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. And this is what the Word of God says. Do not love the world, nor anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is such a big point here that our brother John is laying out for us. Because when we think about the wants and the needs of the world, they're all set to please us and not God. And one of the biggest problems we have, brother and sisters, is that when we love the world, one of the things that happens is that we want to reach the top. We don't want to be servants. We want to be the one who tells people and directs people on what to do. We want to be well known. We want people to know who we are rather than know who Christ is. We want to acquire wealth. And when we acquire wealth, we spend all our time seeking fortunes and not seeking His Word. One of the biggest problems, brothers and sisters, when we fall in love with the world, is that the world will consume us. And when the world consumes us, we only think about ourselves. And that's exactly what happened with Satan. One of the things that Satan did, he stopped looking at God and he started looking on himself. He started to look at his beauty and he started to look at how he could become great. And because he started thinking, how could he become greater than God? What ended up happening is what was that he rebelled against God and he fell from his position. And we can never allow that to happen, brothers and sisters. We can't let the world consume us, and we can't allow ourselves to be full of pride and love our brothers and sisters.
Amen. Verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." First of all, what does John mean by "do not love"? He's obviously speaking here about a system. And what does he mean by this word "love"? You see, we live in a society where the word "love" is used in so many different ways. We say a husband that is married says to his wife, "I love you." And then he also says, "I love chocolate cake." And then, or, "I love this particular type of music." But do all those words, those usages of love, really mean the same thing? And this word "love," where John here, the word "love" that he mentions is the Greek word agapao. And it's very similar to the word agape. But it's not speaking particularly of God's love. It's speaking about being given over. And he's saying, do not be given over to the world. There's a verse that says that men loved darkness. They agapao darkness. They were given over to darkness. And this is what John is saying. He's saying, don't be given over to the world, because the scripture teaches us, brothers and sisters, that there is no middle ground. That friendship with the world is being an enemy with God. And that's mentioned in James chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity," or hostility, or being an enemy with God, of God? "Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." There is no such thing as being in the middle. Jesus says you cannot love two masters. Either you would love one or you would hate the other. You cannot love God and love the world. You cannot be given over to the world and be given over to God. So the question is, what has happened today in that there's so many people that are compromising? And the reason why people have been compromising, or can compromise and still call themselves a Christian, is because they've changed the definition of what a Christian is. See, one of the things that we've seen today is that instead of having the culture changing to look like the church, it is the church that is changing to look like the culture. And this, in fact, has been the fundamental problem that has always been the downfall of the person that desires to be faithful with God, that desires to be faithful to God. We look at this in Israel. One of the things that God warned them before they enter into the land, he told the people of Israel, "I'm going to give you this land. I have a land set aside for you. But when you get into that land, don't do the same things as your inhabitants. Don't worship their gods. Don't follow after their practices. Don't do the rituals that they do." And we see that what was the downfall of Israel was that they turned and started practicing those same practices of the pagans. When we look at the history of the church, when the church began to compromise was not when it was being persecuted, was not when it was hated by the world, but when it has started to receive favors from the world. When we see in the history in Rome, when Rome adopted Christianity as its state religion, then the Christians, out of accommodation, or those that called themselves Christians but were wolves in sheep's clothing, began to accept pagan practices into Christianity. And we're seeing the same thing today. We're seeing a lot of worldly things being brought into the church. and they both cannot coincide. So in order for a worldly church to still call itself a Christian has to change who God is. Of course, God cannot be changed by man, but what they do is that they take away and they make their own false God. And they call him Jehovah, they call him Lord, they call him Jesus. But yet he's not the Jesus of the Bible. He's not the Jehovah of the Bible. He is a God of their own imagination. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot be given over to the world and also serve God. You can't. Either you'll love one master and you'll hate the other. And one of the issues, and one of the great divisions that's going on in Christianity is that there's some people that when they hear certain aspects of God, which are clearly defined in the scriptures as justice, the fact that he's going to judge the world, they say, that's not my God. My God loves everybody. He's going to save everybody. And that's just not true. Those that turn to him, those that obey the gospel. See, the scripture calls us to obey the gospel so that we can receive salvation. And those who do not receive the gospel, do not love the truth, they will be judged accordingly. And here John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. It's just not just the system, the things that the system produce. Now, what does that mean? Is John telling you here that you shouldn't work, you shouldn't make a living? Because let's face it, not everybody has the ability to work for a Christian boss or a Christian organization. Many of us work for companies who are ran by people that maybe are haters of God or moral. And we have to, because we need to feed our families, this is a circumstance that we have to face. But what is John speaking about when he says to love the world and the things of the world? Well, we have to define what the world means. See, the world does not mean the earth. And that's a very important point. See, the earth, it belongs to God. Many people think that when they hear the word world, they equate it to the earth. And that's not what he's speaking about. In fact, this word world in the Greek, it's the word cosmos. And it can mean the universe, but it can mean more broadly speak about a specific category of things. Just like when we say the business world or the world of sports, it means an order of things. And what order of things is he speaking about? Well, the world is anything that opposes God's authority. It is anything that rejects God's headship. And we're speaking here about concepts that don't necessarily need to exist in a physical sense, but that manifest themselves in a physical way, but can also be in us. You see, one of the things that we look at when we look at Israel is that Israel was delivered very quickly from Egypt, but it took a long time for God to deal with that aspect of Egypt that was inside of them. See, me and you as Christians, if you're listening, if you're a believer, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, there's, even though we've been saved, even though we've been born again, there's still things in our mind, there's still ways of thinking, there's still attitudes that are not conformed to God's headship, that are not conformed to the Word of God. And that process, when we speak about sanctification, when we speak about that aspect of being purified, even though I don't necessarily agree that the word sanctification is the best word to use, but it's the one that we use when we say sanctification. This is what we understand it means. And a person that was a certain way and is being gradually changed to look more and more like Jesus. And the way that happens is by little, having each and every aspect of who we are that is contrary to God, that is contrary to his word, being changed and being transformed. And here's the issue. If we love the world, if we love those things about ourselves that are wrong, we won't change them. We won't let it go. We have to see those things as sinful. selfishness, pride, jealousy, envy, all these sins that are not necessarily something physical, but that materialize in our attitudes. We need to hate those things. We need to see them for what they are. And if we love those things, there's no way that we'll ever want to change. So how can you love God when you look and you see those things about yourself and not notice that there's anything wrong? We have to. We can't ignore those things. If we see a fault in us, then we should go and bring it before God and humble ourselves. Because if we don't, that, if we allow it to linger, it can cause us so much pain because we refuse to acknowledge the fact that there's something that needs to be changed. See, you got to think about it like this. Like, I don't know if you've ever had a vehicle that is making a weird noise. Lately, I've been having an issue with the one of the belts in my truck, and it makes a very annoying sound. And when you have a sound that's coming out from your vehicle, you can either do two things. You can deal with the problem, you can go and get it fixed, or you can put up the volume of your radio and ignore it. And this is what we do when we see aspects of who we are and we know that they're negative. But instead of dealing with the problem, we put up the volume of thoughts, we ignore it, we do our best to not face it. And what happens is that eventually that problem becomes worse. And if it's a problem in the vehicle, it can even cause your life if it's a serious issue. And these are the things that happen to us because we choose to ignore things instead of bringing them up to the Lord. Do not love the world. We need to hate these things, the sin. We need to hate sin, these character, these attitudes that are rebellious towards God. Because there's no way that we can love God truly if we don't hate evil. You can't love good if you don't hate evil. You can't hate evil unless you love good. Just like we were talking about before, one of the things that we've been seeing in the book of John is that he contrasts his light versus darkness. In no such place can light and darkness exist together. When we look at the scriptures, God separates the light from the darkness. We should be seeking out the light. The light is Christ. The light is love. The love of the Father.
Amen. Let's take a look at this a little deeper. Hallelujah, praise God. And we're going to start reading in verse 16 to find out exactly what is John talking about, this sinful desire, this love of the world. What is he talking about? And this is what the Word of God says. For everything in the world, now watch here, here's the first one, the craving of sinful man. What is the craving of sinful man? The craving of a sinful man is their desire, whatever they want, is their own ambitions, their own, it revolves around themselves. What does this include? Well, this includes entertainment. We want to entertain ourselves with things of the world. We want to go to clubs. We want to be involved in drugs. We want to have, you know, wealth and possessions. We want to become famous. You know, this is the desire of a sinful man. A sinful man is not interested in pleasing God. A sinful man is not looking to help others. A sinful man is interested in craving his own desires, his own need. Don't you see how these wealthy people only think about themselves? And they'll exploit the people in order to take whatever they can. It doesn't matter how much they oppress them. The world oppresses the people. The world has no love for the people. That's why these big corporations, all they care about is how much wealth they could produce, so they could become more wealthy. Yet they remove insurances for the workers. They put large demands on the workers. They short pay them. This is what the world wants. Second thing, the lust of the eyes. That's why Jesus talks about in the Bible that, you know, if your eyes make you sin, pluck them out. You know, we always want what somebody else has. There's a desire in the human nature to have what somebody else has had. Their homes, their cars, and we envy. And that brings envy into our hearts. We desire even another man's wife, or husband for that matter. And this is what a sinful man desires, what is attracted to the eyes. We're not happy with what we have. You know, and I know that Brother Javer has spoken about this in the past, but we've gone to countries where people have nothing, and they have joy. And a lot of us are living well and still are not happy with what we have, because what we have is not enough. Somebody else has something better, the lust of the eyes, and we want that. And sometimes we even desire those people to die so that we could acquire those things. If it could be a family member, your own father and mother, so you could acquire that wealth. And thirdly, and the boasting. Listen, if you ever talk to somebody, either in a management position or, you know, I'm not saying that everybody does it, but, or somebody that you meet in the street, they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm a manager. And I live in this particular neighborhood. You know, they're always saying people live in a fantasy world, because they're always want to, even if they don't have any money, they'll go and buy a Cadillac. You know, I remember a neighbor I used to have. He had a house that was falling apart, but he had a Cadillac in front of his house. And everybody that saw him away from his house thought this guy had money. You know, the latest phones, you know, the biggest house in the neighborhood. They can't even pay for it. They lose it 3 years later because they can't pay the mortgage. But this is what the world wants. We want to tell people, listen, it doesn't matter how much I suffer in my job. It doesn't matter if I'm going to get a heart attack from stress. But I want to tell people that I'm on the top of the ladder. And this is what's happening in many religions, brothers and sisters, today. People want to be God. And the problem with this, brothers and sisters, is where is God in this? And where is what God wants us to be? The Bible says that we are to be servants, helpers, loving others. How can you love somebody else when you're just interested in your own things? How can you say that you love God? And this is what John here is saying. When what you're interested is in the things of the world, and you are doing nothing for him. You spend more time at work. You spend more time doing other things that you will enjoy rather than pleasing him. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that in order to please God, the Bible says that we must take up his cross and follow him. And what that means is we're not here to please ourselves anymore. We're here on earth right now to please God and to fulfill his mission. And what is his mission for your life? That is the question. What has God called you to do? And whatever he's called you to do, pursue it. And everything else will align himself to you. But you need to seek the kingdom of God. But as long as we're, I want a brand new car, a better one. Oh, no, you know, listen, I'm not happy where my house. I want a castle. You know, I'm just a blue collar worker. I don't want to be here. I just want to get to the top. I want to be the highest one. Well, when you get to be the highest one, that's going to demand more time from you. And now the things you used to do for God, they're put to the side. You don't got time for that anymore. You have a lot more responsibilities they take care of. You neglect your family. And you know, a lot of people have lost their family because of accepting a position. A lot of people have found themselves seeking after fame and pride and recognition. Listen, the only one we need to recognize and the only one we need to lift up is Jesus Christ. And once we do that, brothers and sisters, all these things that we have in this world, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I like these things. I would like to have a castle, but I am pleased where I'm at right now. I'm not, you know, I would like to have a Mercedes, but I'm happy with my 82 pickup truck because it takes me to work and it brings me back home. But what I love and what I desire and what I spend my time is seeking, how can I further the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's the only thing that I'm going to take with me, brothers and sisters. The houses that I acquire here, one day will not be mine. The cars that I acquire here, one day will either end up in the junkyard or somebody's going to own it. This is not my eternity. What I want to prepare, brothers and sisters, is not my life here on earth, which is temporal. What I want to prepare is my everlasting life in the kingdom of God. And what a lot of people, the problem with a lot of people, is that our mentality is set like we're living on earth forever. So we become hoarders here. When is enough enough? It's like we get something and within a short period of time, we're not happy with it anymore. And there's something better that comes out. So we want that greater thing. People change TVs every year. They change phones every year because they are unsatisfied, and they will continue to be unsatisfied until they realize that nothing in this world will bring them happiness other than Christ.
Perhaps you may be listening, and you may say, well, how can I, you know, please God by taking out my cross when the Bible says that it's only through faith that we can please God? Well, here's the thing. You cannot obey God without having faith. You cannot say that you have faith and not obey God. The very fact that you're doing what God told you to do shows that you have faith. You can't just sit in your home and sit down on your couch and say, I have faith, when in reality, there's nothing to show for that, because true faith is demonstrated. If you say that you believe God, then you'll follow his commandments, because you know that these commandments is real and is true, and you have faith that he is who he says he is, and because of your faith, then you obey. See, obedience is a product of faith. If there's no fruit to faith, then it's not faith. In fact, James says that. He says, faith without works is dead. We show our faith through our works. And I want to stay on this verse here on 1 John 2:16. It says, for all that is in the world. And what I like about John is that he doesn't leave anything to ambiguity. He tells it like he is, and he defines for us what he's speaking about when he speaks about the world. He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what the world consists of. So it's not a specific place. It's anything that has these things. And that's how you can test it. If you're in a worldly manner, you can test it. Or what is my motive right now? Is because I want to fulfill a desire of my flesh? There's something that I saw and I just really want it? Or to be lifted up, to feel, to be seen in a specific way? Well, you can use this as a checklist to see if what you're experiencing, what you're enjoying, what is it of the world? And the very first thing he says, the lust of the flesh. Now, what is he speaking about when he says flesh? And brother and sister, do not take these words for granted. Sometimes we sit in church for so long that we hear these words over and over, but we never truly understand what they mean. But don't take it for granted. Research it. Find out what the Word of God says about these things. Because it's obviously a big deal. And he says, the lust of the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? Some people say it's the sinful nature. And I believe that sometimes that brings a little confusion, because it makes it sound like it's something that's not material. But when you think about flesh, you think about meat. You think about something that you can touch, something that you can handle. And this is specifically what he's speaking about, because you see, brothers and sisters, when a believer is born again, his soul is redeemed, his sins are forgiven, but there's one aspect of that believer that is not completely redeemed at that moment. And what I mean redeemed is that the promise of Christ has not yet been fulfilled in that person's life pertaining to that aspect, and that is the body. See, if when we're saved, we receive a new spirit. We receive a new heart. The scripture teaches us that the mind still needs to be renewed and the body still needs to be redeemed. You see, one day the Bible says that we're going to receive new bodies. Bodies that are not going to be subject unto sin. Bodies that are not going to desire things that are sinful. And when it speaks about the flesh, it's speaking about desires of your physical body. You see, a person who was a drug addict, when they get saved, the devil can try and come to them and be like, hey, do you remember when you, how we used to feel when you used to do this and that? Do you remember how that used to feel, how that used to make you feel so good? And the devil uses that sense of feeling that you felt physically to try and tempt you to sin. And he gets us through our bodies, through our senses. And he says, you're the lust of the flesh. Do not live for pleasure. You see, that's one of the tenets of Satanism, is do whatever you want. Do whatever feels good. If it feels good, do it. That is the lust of the flesh. If it feels good, do it. That is the very definition of what John is saying here. Don't do something just because it feels good, but does it honor God? Think about those things. In fact, this whole concept of the world came to be in the Garden of Eden when man decided to forsake God. When man decided that what God had given man was not sufficient. In fact, when we go to Genesis chapter 3 and we look at verse 6, we can find all these things in that very verse. We look at Genesis 3 chapter 6, and when starting in Genesis chapter 3 verse 3, it says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then pay attention to this verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Look at this progression. The very first thing that it says in verse 6 is that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. That it was good for food. That it was good to be eaten. That it was going to be a delicious food. She wanted it. She wanted to taste it. That it was good for food. And that's the lust of the flesh, that it's good for me, that it feels good. God says, as of the world. That's not the way a Christian should live. A Christian should not live by what he feels. And that applies also to times when we have to do things that is right. Sometimes some of the things that make us feel the worst is when we have to speak and tell the truth to someone that perhaps will hurt their feelings. When we have to tell them the truth about the gospel and tell them about how much that they're sinners, and we have to confront them. And it doesn't feel good, but it's the right thing to do. And then it says, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. What else did John say constitutes the world? First of all, the lust of the flesh, then the lust of the eyes. She first saw that it was good for food, that it looks tasty. I want to taste to see how delicious it must be if God is keeping us from it. And then she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. It looks good to me. And that's why, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that we should not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge the Lord. We are to acknowledge Him, not go by what we see. The Bible says we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. And then she says, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Why did she need to be wise when she had the Lord? When she was with God, she was in perfect harmony. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our wisdom. If she was one with God, if she had perfect union in the garden, why else would she want anything else? Who did she need to prove anything to? And that was pride, the pride of life. I could be a wise person. I could be like God. That's the very downfall of the devil. I shall be like the Most High. That was his downfall. That's when he fell. He wanted to be like God. And here, man and a woman were caught in that same trap of giving in to the world. And brothers and sisters, we're all faced with that. When we look at the temptations of Christ, we can find these same elements. He tempts Jesus to turn stones into bread so that he can satisfy his hunger. He shows him the kingdoms of this world to try and get Jesus to worship the devil, to bow down before him. And then he tries to make him jump off the temple. And there's an important point in that too, because the Jews at that time, they expected for Christ to suddenly come from the air and just descend. And in doing so, in throwing himself off the temple, everybody can see, oh, this is the Messiah, the pride of life, instead of humbling himself to the Father. And these are the very same temptations that the devil wants to use against us. And that's why, you know, Brother Lewis says something that's so important. He spoke about entertainment. You know, what's interesting is when you look at what that word really means. Look, this is the etymology, and the etymology means the origin of that word. And it means, when you look up the word entertain, it means to keep up, to maintain, to keep someone in a certain frame of mind, to hold together, to hold among. I mean, just think about it. It's entertain, detain. They're very closely related. They're to tie you up. They're to keep you from doing and from focusing on the true reality of things. And verse 17 says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And this is another key point that Brother Lewis mentions, that this is all going to burn. You can go and have pleasure now, but you'll miss out on the true value of living for God. And we see that example in Esau and Jacob. The Bible says that Esau, he sold his birthright for a bowl of lentils to satisfy his immediate hunger. And Jacob wanted the blessing of Abraham, and he got it. And from him, we received the promise too, that came down that line of Abraham. But where's Esau? That man who sold his birthright, his descendants were wiped out. He lived for pleasure. He enjoyed his season, but the true value of fellowship with God, he lost it. And that's a wonderful example to look at. What do we want, brothers and sisters? Do you want that which is of eternal value that you can never lose? Or will you live for that which you cannot keep? And that is before us each and every day. We may need to make that decision, not once and for all, but each and every morning, each and every day. We make that decision, either we'll follow the world or we'll follow God. Either we do what we want or we carry our cross. Either we serve ourselves or we serve Jesus. And that's a decision that we need to make daily.
Amen. What is it that you love? That is what you will pursue. Christ or the world is your choice. Father God, tonight, we thank you for revealing yourself to us. Father, let us never become prideful, Father, but let us be humble, Father, to learn from you. Let us not raise ourselves over others. Let us be meek as you were meek. Let us love one another, Lord. And Father, most of all, keep our eyes of the world and on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for tuning in tonight to Radio Redemption and Power. We hope that it's been a blessing for you. We invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. Feel free to send us a line either by email or just hit the contact page there. Thank you again, and we pray that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
This world for me.